Our scripture reading tonight is from Acts 2, verses 42 and 47. Then Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And from Ephesians. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you speak through your word to us today. You speak love and life and power into our hearts. God, we pray tonight that we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of it, that you would pierce our hearts, that you would mobilize us to action, that you would call forth a response from us as we share your word together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking over the last couple weeks about the church, looking specifically at the early church, but then asking God's Spirit to do the same thing in us as the church today. We've talked about the fact that in many churches, although some churches are blooming and growing, in many churches, particularly older churches and mainline denominations, churches are sort of slowing down. We have some churches, even in this area, that have recently had to close their doors because they just ran out of enough active members to keep the church going. We live in a culture and among a younger generation, many of whom feel that the church has become irrelevant to them. And I strongly believe that is not true. I do not believe that God is done with the church yet. I believe the church is the body of Christ, and it's the vehicle God uses to spread the gospel and to show his love and his grace to a broken world. And so instead of just thinking that we're in this post-church era, we need to ask the Spirit to revive the church in power that we might be who Jesus has called us to be. And so we look at the early church in the second chapter of Acts, the church that was born on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came and made the gospel alive to people and changed people's hearts and minds and lives. And we see that after that day of Pentecost, the new believers and the apostles were told they continuously devoted themselves. And we've talked about some of those things that they've continuously devoted themselves to. And tonight we're going to think about they continuously devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer was part of the backbone of the early church. Paul tells us in the couple of verses Tom read for you from Ephesians 6, which actually is directly after the armor of God. If you're familiar with the armor of God, Paul tells the church in Ephesus to put on the full armor of God so that in the day of trouble they will be able to stand, and having done everything else, be able to stand. And he tells them to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and to hold the shield of faith with which they can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. To wear the helmet of salvation and shoes that are quick to spread the gospel of peace, and to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And as he talks about that armor and putting that armor on, after we have that armor on, he says this, and pray. And pray always, and pray in every way with all kinds of prayers and requests and petitions. And be alert, be watchful, so that you could be praying for all the saints. And then he says, and then pray for me too. Pray that when I open my mouth, I will speak the gospel with clarity, that I will speak it fearlessly with the boldness that God has called me to do. And I love that image because we always think of prayer as, not always, but we often think of prayer as something just sweet. You know, we sing it, sweet hour of prayer. You know, we sing these beautiful prayer songs about prayer. And prayer sometimes is a really sweet time in God's presence. But prayer is so much more than that. And Paul shows us here, as he lists the armor of God, that we use prayer to battle as well. Paul reminds us that we don't fight. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the powers and principalities in the heavenly realm, the powers of this dark world. And that's a part of prayer I don't know that we really completely understand, that when we pray, when we intercede, when we cry out, somehow in the spiritual realm, we are doing battle. And yet, the church takes prayer so lightly. I said it before, it's like going to war and leaving your best weapon at home. And I believe God is calling us to stop treating prayer as a last resort. I've said it before too, like the last dollar bill in our wallet. But our first offense, our first reaction to go down on our knees, to intercede. I love it being watchful, looking out for what's going on with the people around us, letting God prompt our hearts to intercede for people who we see having a struggle or we see in a hard time or who God just puts on our hearts and minds. I love, too, that Paul asks for prayer because it's another thing I think we do with prayer. We are so very polite. You know, and often if you ask someone if you can pray for them, they're sort of like, oh, I'm okay, I don't really need anything. Or sometimes when somebody has a deep, pressing need, they're reticent to ask for prayer. People who will give you a mile-long list of prayers for other people, right, feel like somehow they're being selfish if they ask for prayer for themselves. And if prayer is this unbelievably, almost unexplainable tool that God has given to us to connect with him, to open the gates of heaven, if you will, why don't we want to ask other people to pray for us? We should be saying, yes, please, pray for me. And Paul, again and again in his letters, asks the churches to pray for him. So we have to get over that reticence we have of sharing our brokenness or asking for prayer or somehow looking like we're needy, because the reality of it is we are needy. We are in desperate need of the power and the grace and the love that God has to give to us in Jesus Christ, every one of us, whether we know it or not. And so we ask for prayer, and so we pray. And we've talked a lot of times on Thursday night because prayer is something that is so dear to my heart, and I believe so dear to God's heart. But tonight, I especially want to think about us corporately praying. We've been watching Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle, his DVD series in Sunday school about prayer. And the Brooklyn Tabernacle is a praying church, and God has moved in wonderful ways. And Jim Cimbala had a lot of wisdom to teach us. But as I was watching the DVD this Sunday, I had a thought, and I shared this with the class, so if you're in the class, I'm really sorry you have to hear it again. But Tom and I were talking last week, because, you know, part of trying to be healthy is to drink water. Water is something that's incredibly important for our bodies. Our bodies, our brains are, you know, 70% or whatever it is, water. So it's really important to stay hydrated. But I've noticed a very interesting thing as I've been on an up and down valley and mountaintop experience to try to be healthier than I am. This is what I've noticed about water. When I don't drink much water, I'm really rarely thirsty. I mean, unless it's a really hot day. But if I'm throughout the day drinking for several days in a row the recommended amount of water, we could probably debate that because there's all different ideas of what the right amount of water is. But when I'm drinking a sufficient amount of water for my body, I'm so thirsty. If I've had a week where I've really done well drinking water, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm dehydrated. I am so thirsty. Doesn't make any sense, right? Should be, if we don't drink water, we're thirsty. But somehow water does something to us that the more we get our body used to having it, the more our body needs it. And I think that's such a beautiful analogy for what happens with prayer. You know, we live our lives. If I'm honest, for most of my Christian life, I've prayed sporadically. Sometimes every day, but a lot of times not, and hardly ever intentionally. And we don't realize how much we need to be in contact with God through prayer. But then the more we start to pray, the more we realize how much we need to pray. Jim Cimbala says something like that. I'm going to paraphrase him because I'm not going to get this correct. But he says, the more I pray, the more I see my need for prayer. And so then the more I pray, and the more I see my need for prayer, and the more I see my need for prayer, the more I pray. And as I do that, I see God moving in unbelievable ways. Ways that I don't think we would see him move if we weren't praying, if we weren't seeking. Because when we pray, we share our hearts with God. When we pray, we give God the opportunity to line up our heart with his heart, to line up our wills with his will. I believe with all my heart that God uses prayer to change things. He changes circumstances. He changes people. When God's people pray, I believe chains are broken. I believe prisoners are set free. I believe addictions are broken. I believe that brokenness and sickness, not only in our physical bodies, but in our spiritual bodies, in our emotional lives, are healed. I believe the course of history is changed when God's people pray. But what I believe even more than that is when God's people pray, God's people are changed. It's in those moments when we're gathered before God's throne, when we're sharing our heart with him and with one another, that he changes us. He changes the way we look at things. He brings things to our heart that we're holding on to so tight they're getting in our way, that he's asking us to lay it down. He shows to us when we come into his presence with love and with kindness as he does everything. He shows us attitudes and issues that, again, are getting in our way. And he invites us not in condemnation, but in total trust and love for him to let him come in and change us. But we don't pray. And we don't always pray with one another. And there are a lot of reasons for that, and I want to just try to address a couple of them really quick. First of all, if we're honest, especially if we don't pray with people often, it's incredibly awkward, right? It's really kind of uncomfortable to say to somebody, hey, let's pray, you know? Now, the good thing is, once you start doing it, it feels less and less awkward, and it feels really normal. As a matter of fact, I frequently find myself, when someone tells me something they want to pray for, instead of I used to just say, oh, I'll be praying for you, now I just say, can I pray for you? And I just pray right there in that minute so that I know that I'm praying, because I can't tell you how many times I told somebody I'd be praying for them. Whew. Right out of my head. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. We worry a lot about the people who are going to be hearing our prayers, right? We're worried that we're not eloquent, or we stumble, or we don't feel like we have a lot of power. And the reality of it is there isn't a formula. There isn't just this right cadence in our voice or this right position of our body that we have to catch a hold of. God will teach us to pray. Jesus' disciples asked him that. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe as we pray, God will teach us how to pray. We don't pray alone. Tom read it for you. Paul says, and pray in the Spirit. The Spirit is always praying with us, interceding for us when we don't have the words, giving our prayers voice, standing with us. And so, in a way, we have to let God teach us how to pray, and sometimes that means taking ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit and just doing it. Because the reality of it is, I know people who feel like their prayers are sort of, you know, nothing. They feel like they stumble. They feel like, and those are people whose prayers sometimes bless me the most. And that's what we have to remember, that God uses our prayers, our voices in one another's lives. It's uncomfortable. We don't know how to do it, but God will teach us. And so I think the very best thing for us to do is just to do it, just to pray. knowing that God is a gracious Father, knowing that he's not judging our prayers with the grammar check and the spell check, you know? Knowing that it's okay if we know it's okay if we stumble. Know if it's okay if we have one of those times where we're just like, God, I don't even have words, but you know my heart. But something happens when we pray together, and if you've ever had the opportunity to pray with somebody consistently, you see that. Your hearts start being knit together. You start having this love and this connection with each other because you spend time in God's presence together. You know, most of you know that Barb is my prayer partner, and we pray every Monday. And I always say it blows my mind that there's somebody who can pray my heart for my children. Barb can pray my heart for my children. I can pray her heart for her children and her grandchildren because we've shared our hearts together in prayer. And it's a bond that I don't believe any other amount of being together, I don't think it creates the same bond. One thing I've noticed is that we love to talk about prayer. And right now we're having a Sunday school class on prayer. We preach sermons about prayer. We tell stories about how God has answered prayer. And I just realized as I said that, I don't want to tell a lot of stories, but I do want to tell you one story. There's a terrible famine going on in East Africa, and it's not getting a lot of news. And Barb's been gracious enough to share a couple World Vision videos with me that have, with Tom and I both, that have broken our heart to see the depth of this famine. And a month ago, World Vision called a global day of prayer to end the famine. And so people all over the world, believers all over the world, were gathering together on a day to fast and to pray to end the famine. And, you know, there are parts of East Africa that are still desperate famine and need continual prayer. But the thing that was interesting is South Sudan, which is, you know, and there's all these qualifications that you have to be considered in a famine. And this is one of the worst famines that's been in recorded history, I think, if I'm correct on that. But South Sudan is now one step below. They don't meet the criteria to be a famine, which means something that seems so incredibly impossible, right? God's people gather together and pray, and there's change happening. It needs continued prayer. God's still moving. But if God's people gather together, can cause heaven to move, and can stir in God's heart, God's people, generosity, that they want to step in and not just pray, but pray and respond. And there's just this incredible movement that happened because God's people put themselves in his presence and asked him to move, not only in the famine, but to move in the hearts of his people. Sometimes we just think things aren't changeable. And we need to be reminded that things are changeable. God invites us to pray. And who knows what happens as we do it. And we don't understand it because God can do whatever he wants to do. He does not need us to pray. And yet for some reason, that's how God set it up. He invited us to be co-laborers with him, that we pray, we do kingdom work. I believe with all my heart that prayer, for whatever reason, is the currency of heaven. Again, We talk about it, we preach about it, we read books about it. But we need to pray. And so I want to just take some time tonight, and I just want to invite you, instead of our usual open time of sharing, I want you, if you have a prayer request, as we gather together to pray, to just pray. Don't worry about your words. Don't worry about if you have to explain. Just pray it. But what I really also want to do is I want us to pray for each other. So as we gather together to pray, if God puts somebody on your heart or you look across the prayer circle and you see somebody, just pray that we could pray for each other, pray blessings on each other, pray where we know somebody's struggling. Just pray together for each other, with each other. So I'm going to ask you to let's circle up.